Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to cars.com. It's magical.
SecondCityHockey.com.
Dakota, Jonathan Toews.
Commit to us. Commit to the jersey. Commit to our people here.
Welcome to Monday Deep Dish. It's not morning because we're not putting this out in the morning. My name is Shepard Price. With me, as always, are LBR.
Hi.
And Janelle.
Hi.
I did not take that cue very well. Sorry.
No, you didn't.
It's all good. It's all good. So, as usual, Janelle has the questions. So go ahead.
Okay, great. So we talked about goaltending last time for the Hawks and in general, and also about how pleasantly surprised we've been this season, I think. So now we'd like to talk about defense. So before we get into the Blackhawks particulars, why don't we talk about what metrics matter most for defense in general?
All right. I'll go first then. Expected goals against and high danger chances against, I think, are the two most important defensive metrics because those are both quality. The sheer number of shots you face against you doesn't matter if those shots are coming from like outside the high danger areas. In my opinion, like Connor Murphy could give up a ton of shots, but because he's Connor Murphy, a lot of them won't be from inside. So that doesn't matter to me as much. I also put personally, a heavy emphasis on defensive goals above replacement because that's a better metric, I think, defensively than it is offensively. And then there's the contextual stats that I think are more important defensively, like offensive zone start percentage and matchups. Corsica, which is a great former site, they've shut down a while ago, used to measure quality of teammate and quality of matchup. And I think those two are really important stats that are now lacking in the general stats community.
Yeah, I would say that those are all very, like, that's the starting point at the bare minimum. For some reason, you know, defensive stats, shot stats can be like, they're extremely influenced by not just the defensemen. So I think for more than like offense, defense, they can be like muddied. So you definitely want to start with quality. You want to make sure that you're taking in context, just like Shepard said, zone starts like and situation. So yeah, especially if like a defender is at the end of a game always the one shutting stuff down, because that's going to impact their shot metrics. And are they the one closing out a period, that kind of stuff. If they're the ones coming off of a penalty kill too, that'll also affect their their shots. But I actually really think that this is where something like micro tracking stats can help flesh out certain behaviors in defensemen. You know, obviously there's the most well-known, there's, you know, pass breakups, zone injury prevention, zone exits. But they also track, and by they, I mean like either private trackers or companies like SportsLogic, which the NHL, and like, if we were like real journalists, we would have access to this because the like Writers Association.
We are real journalists. What are you talking about?
If we were unionized, we would have access to some of their data that are things like, you know, puck battle wins, puck recoveries, blocked passes, and stick checks, turnover rates, all of that kind of stuff, which I can't help but think would be able to shed a lot more depth into what goes into being a defenseman or even a defensive forward.
Yeah. And things like blocked passes are going to be more important than things like block shots, because block shots can become rebounds that the goaltender's not ready for. Whereas a blocked pass is always better in that situation.
Yeah. And they can track them to, you know, like the exact location. So they could qualify one that's like a blocked pass in the neutral zone or in the offensive zone, in close, in out. So like if somebody's blocking passes through the slot, which is the most dangerous area to pass through the Royal Road, you know, that defender is doing a better job. So it's those types of stats that I can't wait till the public gets much, like that gets a lot more of.
Because that's how you measure more quality chances, like how Adam Boqvist breaks up a 2-on-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned something, Shepard, about how there's some stats to deal with the matchup with teammates. Do you think you could elaborate on that a little bit?
So again, Corsica, again, a great site that's gone now, used to measure like if Duncan Keith is always playing with Adam Boqvist, who has been one of the Blackhawks' best goals above replacement defensemen in the last 2 years, this year and last year, mainly because of his offense, but because he's been really good. Because if he's spending a lot of time with Adam Boqvist, that quality of teammate will go up. And if he's spending a lot of time with, say, Nikita Zadorov, that the quality of teammate will go down. It's just it measures like how good of a both defensive pairing and forward lines you're playing with.
Okay. Yeah. And then LBR, you said something about the micro tracking stats. Are those the things that you're saying that we don't really have so much access to, or?
Yeah, it's not. So there are people that do track it. There's Corey. Last name I'm never gonna try to pronounce, like his last name is like mostly like it's an S, a Z, an N right all next to each other, so we're not trying that, but SNSZNAJDER. His at on Twitter is Shutdown Line. And he's great. He's doing like the work that needs to be done in this type of for the public, you know, like easy access. And if you want access to stuff, you do have to pay for it, like it's, but through like a patron. But he tracks so many games almost completely by himself. So and then there's SportsLogic, which is what everybody like the NHL uses. So if you want to like keep up with some of that stuff, Mike Kelly is a good person to follow on Twitter. He's Mike Kelly NHL at NHL. Because he'll tweet about it and he'll go on air and talk about it in depth. So those are good resources to me for the micro tracking stats.
Okay, great. So one more question before we get into maybe more particulars with Blackhawks and specific players. Do you think that there's any holes in defensive analytics? Are there some things that we could be looking at a little differently? And would that improve the game or the analysis of it?
Yeah, like LBR said, I think a lot of the micro tracking stats are really important to have, and so is quality of not just teammate, but quality of opposition. Again, both of those things we don't have anymore. But yeah, like chances broken up, like a better measure than expected goals against, because expected goals against are shots on net, versus a chance that's broken up doesn't count towards expected goals against. Like I want a metric that sort of tracks how good players are at breaking up those like potentially dangerous chances. Like a 2-on-1 would be higher in that metric than like something at the blue line.
Got it.
Yeah, and I'll say that there are people that are like Jay Fresh. I know that's a weird name, but he does player cards. Like that's what he's primarily known for, is player cards on Twitter. But he has a couple of visualizations that show quality of competition. It's mostly based, I think, on TOI, which, you know, but Corsica used to be able to do it based on both TOI and on shot attempts. That way you were like, okay, they're facing top line players based on, you know, ice time that the other team is getting them, but what about their actual performance, you know? So we need to flesh it out a lot more. I think more than even offense. I think offense is much more straightforward than defense is. It can't just be flipped and reversed to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause expected goals for is a lot better than expected goals against.
Yes.
Great. Okay. All right, let's get to, the Hawks then. What's up with the defense or lack thereof? And who do you think's good and bad on the Blackhawks line this season?
Well,
No opinion.
Okay. I was going to say that obviously Connor Murphy statistically is the best defender on the Blackhawks. He's well-rounded. He does everything pretty well in the defensive sense. He's got the highest goals above average. He's got the best shot metrics, everything like that. I think Boqvist has been coming on very well in the last few games. If you look at what he's been doing on the ice, it's been really impressive. I think that Zadorov is so we all knew who he was coming in. I think he has been doing better lately. It's just that the bar was kind of so low for him that that's not exactly a compliment sometimes. Mm-hmm. And if you look at his metrics, they're not good. When you look at like individual tracking stats, like one thing he was really good in Colorado was zone entry prevention. And I don't know if like the Blackhawks actually even tried a zone prevent because they just let everybody walk in. So, but he gets targeted the second most on the team and he has the worst rate against on the team right now. So he's struggling in that sense. And then Keith looks great on the ice. So there has to be, but metrically he's like, something's not clicking. I think Shepard probably could go in more depth than
yeah. like LVR started off with the fact that like Keith's the one closing out games, whether or not he should be doing that at this point in time, when he's nearly 38 years old is a different question. I would not have him on ice in those situations anymore. My go-to pairing would be Murphy and Boqvist in those situations, because again, like LBR said, Boqvist since returning from COVID has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like one of arguably the Blackhawks' best defenseman because of what he adds offensively, but also because of what he's doing defensively and breaking up 2-on-1s, like probably better than anybody else on the Blackhawks blue line. I think this version of Boqvist we're seeing right now could be a number one defenseman in the future, which is what the Blackhawks drafted him as. Murphy again, fantastic, dependable, like through like 20 games was like a top four defenseman in the league in terms of goals above replacement. I would say Kelvin DeHaan's not bad. Whether or not he's on the team after the Seattle expansion draft, we'll see, but, it would make sense for them to take him. Besides that, I don't like a ton of the Blackhawks defensemen, because they're not great statistically, like LBR said.
We should probably caveat that the whole team has bad shot metrics. So,
oh yeah, the team is the worst team in terms of expected goals, for percentage.
So I kind of it's the situation where you're like, we see them doing good things, and they do have like Ian Mitchell has really good pass breakup numbers. Like for the team, he probably would have more if he was on a team where that was emphasized more, for example. And we see that all the time when he's on the ice. We see him preventing shots from getting through into quality chances. He's just, it's happening so much on the ice because they let the other teams just camp in the offensive zone, that it's overwhelming. They're all of them are below average in everything that can be like defined almost. Almost all of them, Murphy isn't, Boquist is getting up there, but it's like, is it something that's wrong with the defenders, or is it something that's wrong with that's above them? That's not.
Oh, it's, okay. I think it's very much something above them. I think it's Jeremy Colleton's system, which isn't user friendly.
I was just going to ask that question. If you thought that there is a reason why his system is faltering, and you know, if it could be improved.
Well, they could start by like not letting people walk in at the blue line. Like it feels like such a like.
I'm so angry.
It's one of those things that. So I was talking about this to somebody in the comments because their reply was, you know, I was like, so they don't prevent anybody from entering. They try to steer them to the outside, which on paper sounds okay. I can understand that strategy, except that it doesn't prevent quality of chances. And then somebody was like, no, they're shooting these long shots out. And I was like, they're shooting every type of shot. Okay. It's not just long. It's in close. It's from the side. It's, you know, there are games where they're good at preventing, like they collapse down prior to like, one of the Tampa games, they had been doing that really well with Subban, less so with Lincoln, but it's been like a free for all most of the season, and they've gotten worse at it over the season. Yeah. So, ugh.
Yeah. I think the system needs to be a little bit simplified, and also the Blackhawks could trap more. They could afford to trap a lot more.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight, we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
All right. Great. okay, let's move to a little different kind of question. What would your dream defense look like right now for the Hawks or otherwise? You know, let's do some wishful thinking.
Do you mean like style or like players?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how long do we have? I would love to hear about style, but yeah.
So I don't mind hybrid man to man. I just don't like what JC's doing with it. the Blackhawks play a man to man hybrid system that is extremely effective with the type of players that they have. The Blackhawks do not have those type of players, so it is not effective for them specifically. I'm assuming a closer to zone would work better for them.
Yeah.
Like a zone coverage.
Yeah, especially with the defenseman they've been given who necessarily, like, there's players like Murphy and DeHaan and Zadorov on this blue line who cannot move.
Yeah, and zone to zone would help also with being able to propel forward. They do have some really good... Ian Mitchell, Boquist, Bodine, and even Zadorov are all decent outlet passers, usually. And none of them have been good with exit zone, really, across the Blackhawks, which is another issue that they have. I don't understand how they're not getting out of the zone. Zone might help with that a little bit more because it would free them away from the player that they were just covering. So they could flip it the other way. Right now, the Blackhawks are relying on weathering the storm, hoping that works. And then when there is a break of one moment, they rush the other way. The Blackhawks are one of the best, if not the best, rush team in the league, which sounds ridiculous because they don't do it as often as you think, but they're extremely successful. They are one of the most successful at the rush, which they have to be because they don't get any zone time.
Right, because they can't cycle. Yeah.
So, I mean, this is another kind of hypothetical question, but I mean, is someone that you would like to see added to the Hawks defense?
He's a free agent this summer, so Dougie Hamilton. Okay. I would love Dougie Hamilton on this blue line. Under a different coach, though.
Wow.
Please. Yeah.
Just stick it at him.
Yeah. Well,
it's interesting because Dougie Hamilton actually probably would be okay in JC's system because it's not, it's different than what Carolina runs. Let's just be clear about that. But it's not so far off that Dougie Hamilton probably would be fine in it. I actually think part of the reason that Boquist is opening up is because he is one of the speedy, you know, he can skate very well. But then it's weird that Ian Mitchell isn't blooming as much right now because he also skates extremely well. And I watched a lot of Ian Mitchell when he was in college, and he's fantastic. And the fact that he was starting out really well and it's kind of faltering is kind of annoying to me because I'm like, let him play the way that he has always played and he will be a star. But it's just not.
I think part of it is him being a rookie in Colleton's system versus being a rookie in other places.
Yes. And also I think Boquist had trouble with it last year. So it might just be a learning curve. It's like it's a harder system to learn.
Yes.
So these newer kids that are coming in. So the system could be effective. We just don't have the players for it currently. And maybe the kids that are coming up will learn it and pick it up quicker because they're learning it in Rockford too. And then it'll end up being useful. It's just currently not. I know a lot of people really like, these are people you'll never get, but if we could find somebody who's kind of like Charlie McAvoy, that's a type of player that we don't have in the system right now. He's a big player who moves extremely well, who is great defensively and can pitch in offensively. We have one or the other right now. We have big guys who play defensively or small guys who are offensive.
Yeah.
So you have a combo.
Alex Vlasic becoming a hat trick defenseman at BU this season would probably help with that. Yeah. And Alec Regula probably helps too.
Those two are the options. I'm like iffy on whether or not that's actually going to translate. Is Vlasic breaking out is great, but will it be sustainable? I think he needs maybe a little bit more, we need more info before we actually are like, yeah, he could be that type of player. But love both of their push forward. Their development curve is much sharper than I think anybody thought they were going to be.
Okay, well, I think this is a good segue to talk about trophy contenders now. So this is a two-part question for both of you. Who do you see as a Norris Trophy contender this season? And then also, what about the theoretical language? Why is it so hard to determine who would win that?
To answer the second part first, I think because a lot of those micro stats that LBR mentioned that would be helpful in determining who's actually the best defensively are not extremely publicly available. They're not generally available to most people. So I think that would include some hockey writers. So it would be harder to figure out how to measure that. And it eventually become the Selke where there is offensive input in a defensive award. To answer the first part, I think Boquist in the future could be a Norris contender. But right now it's I would not be surprised to see somebody like Morgan Riley win it this year.
I think Charlie McAvoy should get a lot of Norris love.
Because he's the one good defenseman on the Boston blue line.
Yes. But I also think he's been one of the top defenders in the league for a couple of years and he's pretty young. So I've always thought that was interesting. I think what Adam Fox is doing in New York is pretty impressive. He's still, I don't think he's going to get the recognition that he should. And but I think he's better defensively than the like Avalanche kids, you know, like, cause they have some good ones. But yeah, so I think McAvoy is better than Riley, but that's
for sure. Yeah, because he goes two way. I also think Shea Theodore was the contender before he slowed down after he got injured.
Oh, and I will say, so when everybody was making such a big deal about Boquist's performance against Vegas last year, and there were people that were like, oh, he's a bust. And I'm like, he's not even 20 yet. Okay.
Yeah.
But his closest comparable still to today is, in terms of his development curve, according to hockeyprospects.com, is Shea Theodore. So everybody was just like clamoring for him, like all across the Blackhawks sphere, fandom sphere, was like, oh, I wish we had a Theodore. And I'm like, you have one in the making. Okay. Just let him develop potentially, you know, he could be that. And you just have to like, wait, we're in a rebuild. It's okay. Settle down.
And get him an actual partner, which is what Shea Theodore needed to really take off.
Yes. That's how all of them do. You know, this is the same thing that Keith went through when he first got here. You know, the reins were completely like, he could do whatever he wanted. And he had to be reeled back in, put with Seabrook, who was a good balance to him, and then put in the right system. And he blew up, and he was, you know, he should have won the Norris more times than he did.
Yeah. So, we got to find that balance to Boquist.
So one other trophy question, since it's really still about D, what about the Selke trophy? Why does it seem to go to players with good face-off percentages and 60 plus points?
I think for a long time, yeah, go ahead.
No, no, you go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
We're so polite. We're like, no, you. No. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that hockey writers, who are the ones that award that, one, they don't get to see every player play. It's a lot of beat writers, and the only time that they ever see other players that aren't on their beat are through highlights and through other media coverage. So if a player isn't getting coverage, then they're not in these other writers, even though they should be, you know, like, I think last year, the fact that Deneau was not even, like, he was sixth, despite being like in the top 5 or 10 of practically every microstat that counts defensively. And he was top 10 for strength of opponent. He was, you know, really high on goals for percentage, all of that kind of stuff. Everything that you're like, this is what it should be about. He only got to sixth, and he was better than Bergeron and a bunch of stats. But he didn't have as many. He didn't have quite as good of points. He's not as well known. Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's an award that should absolutely be about defense and like who can win matchups against like the best quality of opposition and things like that. It's not. When Patrice Bergeron was winning like 5 of them, it was like faceoffs, because that's how. So that's also how some hockey writers measured the defense, was how good you are at faceoffs, just like raw faceoff percentage. And Bergeron was always like the best at that. But like to actually measure it, you need to like look at the players on like the Penguins' third line. Like Zach Aston-Reese last season was also one of the best, and like Teddy Bluger. So those two are two of the best defensively forwards, or at least were last season. Like that's the sort of thing you need to look at, is like who's actually guarding and playing, like breaking up passes and getting takeaways, which is like Mark Stone's biggest claim to the award.
Yeah. And like, it's not even, we're trying to say that like Bergeron isn't great defensively, but that's not his main, like his role is to be both.
Yeah.
So if he was put into a shutdown role, I have no doubt that he would like, because he's actually done that for Team Canada before in the past. He was like on a checking line, which just speaks to Canada's depth. And he's great at it, but that's not his like total role. And there are players that did that role, still put up pretty decent numbers, but then still also just were complete shutdown.
Yeah. And Bergeron is arguably like the third best defensive forward on his line now. So.
Great. Well, I learned a lot today and I had a lot of fun. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
If the Langway was a thing, I think that's the award a Blackhawk is contending for most besides the Calder, because I think Connor Murphy is up for that this season.
Yeah, Murphy is underrated across the league. I think that's true. And I'll also point out that there was some, like, we obviously were harshing on JC a little bit here as a coach.
Yeah.
and nobody wants to, like, we're not trying to, like, hate on him. I know people are going to take it that way. That's not what we're trying to do. We want the team to be the best that it can be. And he should get a lot of credit for the way that he has made the team buy into his, we keep calling it tenacity and you can do attitude. And that is, those types of intangibles are extremely important to good teams. But they can be the difference between a good team and a great team, but you have to be like an actual good team first. And I don't think the Hawks are there yet. So if obviously they're not there, if they could like wrap up this defensive scheme better, and build on what they already have a foundation of, which is this, like, we're always in it, never give up on us type of attitude that has kind of deteriorated in the last couple of games, but before that was like such a big part of their identity this season, then they have a shot of being like a really good team. I'm not totally sold on JC being that coach for that team, but I don't want to like not give him any credit, because I think right. He deserves some.
And there, and early in the season, they were saying like, there was a ton of buy-in in JC. So.
Yeah. So he's got the team eating out of his hands. So like, give him credit for that. Hopefully it like pushes them forward eventually and they break through. I'm actually hoping that the last few games was the like rock bottom that they needed to hit in terms of quality against and shots against, and that maybe they'll focus on pushing forward, because they need to do something if they really, really want to hang with contenders. Cause right now they're not even in the conversation. We may be fourth in the league, but we're closer to like Columbus and Nashville than we are the Lightning and Carolina, even though we hung pretty well with the Lightning for a while. And I should not say we, obviously I'm not a Blackhawk, but Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Will's gonna listen to this and go, how dare you have said we just then.
Yeah.
So yeah.
As LVR said, like, the Blackhawks are 2-6-3, I think, against the top three teams in the division in the season.
Yeah. So that's it.
All right. That's it. yeah, that was great, guys. I had a lot of fun, as I said. Learned a lot. And let's go Hawks.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.